Thank you. Thank you, Brother Brandon, Brother Scott. It's time to change the order of service. I know that you're enjoying the song service, and I certainly have, and it's just a pleasure and a privilege to see each of you tonight, and so glad that you turned aside from the cares of life to come and be with us in these meetings, and we've been enjoying them immensely. We began Tuesday night over at High Point, and then last night over at Bear Creek Church, and the Lord has wonderfully blessed me to hear. It may not have fed anybody else's soul, but I can't believe it. I think there are other people who have immensely enjoyed the preaching, and Elder Bryan has been blessed to preach, and we anticipate the same tonight. And I hope you've been praying for the meeting, and if you haven't, then of course you have plenty of opportunity to do that before we dismiss the service this evening. I don't know of anyone here at Parkview that has any special problems. Of course, I think we all have our own special problems that we need God's grace to sustain us. But the one that's in my mind today, we went to Duke Hospital and visited with Brother Eugene Little, who is very seriously ill, and we've been calling him out. And if you've been maybe a little bit negligent, as I have in times past, about praying for people, I hope that you will remember him. He does desperately need God's grace, and he's already blessed him. He's in a stable condition today. He's come down with pneumonia, of all things. He's waiting for a lung transplant and just, you know, very extremely weak. The disease he has is a genetic disease. And, of course, you know, hospitals, contrary to what we may think about them, they are not sterile. And if you don't believe it, you go sometime and get a staph germ or pneumonia. Of course, he was in the hospital and got pneumonia. So someone or something brought the bacterium in, and that, of course, just set him back. And he is was yesterday very critical. And so tonight, I especially want you to pray for him again. And then the course of the week, when you do pray, I want you to remember him again and his family, who has, his wife has been so devoted to him and been by his side the whole time. And their expenses, again, are astronomical. But we're in good health tonight, and I just have looked forward to having Elder Sam Bryant with us here in the fall season, and right before our Thanksgiving. And of course, I think every day is Thanksgiving with God's people, and tonight would be no exception to that. It's just good to have all of our preaching brethren here, Elder Langham and then Elder Bennett, and then I saw Elder Milton Gunner, and of course you see these three here, Elder Danny Parker and Elder Wayne Gibbons, and of course Elder Sam Bryant. Some of you may not know Elder Bryant. He is from Allentown, Georgia. And I think most of you knew that. Some of you may be visiting here tonight. If you are, we do appreciate your presence. We have a very special friend, Ina, who stays with us tonight. She's a very dear person, a friend of ours, and we told her about the meetings, and she came tonight, and so we're just glad that she's here. And I think this is the first time she's ever been in a Primitive Baptist meeting. And so it's going to be different. But I hope it is so different that it moves the heart of each of us, and each one of us are moved by the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, and to be in fellowship with God's people and to be in nearness to them. And so if that's this evening, if that's what it brings, then we'll leave happy and rejoicing in that. And I hope that you'll pray for Elder Bryan as he comes. And again, we appreciate all of you that are here, our sister from sister churches, and wherever you come from. And whatever your condition is tonight, I hope the Lord will meet it and that you will be abundantly blessed for coming our way. Now, is anyone else that needs some special prayers for them? And we'd be more than happy to call them out.
Brother Hood?
Yes, Elder Langham. Okay. Well, we have always something to do, and that's what the subject matter was last night. Let us come boldly to a throne of grace that we might find help in time of need. And so these people that have been called out, they certainly need our prayers, and I hope that you'll remember to do that. We're going to ask Elder Wayne Gibbons to come tonight and introduce the service, and he's just going to kind of lead us in a public way and I hope that you will be of a mind to pray with them and along with them from where you're sitting. So, Elder Wayne, or Dennis, do you have any song selections? We used a song last night, and I think it would be very appropriate tonight if you turn to number 74, and we'll just sing the first of that and the last, and have you to stand, give you an opportunity to rest yourself as we sing number 74, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Again, our humanity and how weak we are, but Elder Lewis Culver's here tonight and his wife, Sister Betty, and I didn't call them out, and so we're going to use Elder Culver to dismiss tonight. So when the service is over, Brother Lewis, we'd like for you to come and stand with us, and to close of it, would you be kind enough to dismiss us with prayer? In case you don't know who they are, they're my daughter-in-law's mom and daddy, and I call them mom and dad. Now, a lot of people call them father and mother. But over where I come from, they're mom and dad. So we're glad to have them, and hope they have a nice visit with their family. So, Brother Wayne, come ahead if you don't mind.
Thank you. That was more prayer. My Father who is in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the blessing this day. We certainly thank you for our mercy and grace, and we thank you for the blessing that I have known wonderful blessings to live when you're so unworthy and so unworthy. God bless you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for shelter and raiment, for strength and for freedom together here this night. We thank you, Lord, for thy Son, Jesus, who died for the sins of my family, God. Thank you, Lord, for each one this year. We pray tonight, thy blessing upon them, each one of them. That you would bless them and bless those who are close to them with the power of nature. Bless those, Heavenly Father, upon the bed of affliction. No doubt there's many, how many sorrows, troubles, and trials in this venture earth. And which is well. Seems like we hear so many every day, and days go by, and meet those on our travel that have many sorrows, many heartaches, many troubles. Some have financial troubles, some have children problems, some have problems, marriage problems. And Lord, there's so many problems, dear God, and we find that God's people have in the sense of the earth, and which is well. Lord, we ask this night to be not precious will, that you would bless them. They might be blessed to lift up thee, the great God of glory, who is our strength and wisdom, who delight our pathway, that we sing in answer songs. He is our power. He is our all in all. He is our only hope, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you bless this our brother, whom we learn to love, the true faith. Bless him and bless his family he's left behind. Bless him as he stands before these our people. Most of all, Heavenly Father, he might be blessed to preach to the honor and praise of thy King, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then again, may he bless the prayer for your mind, God's people, that they might go away having the greatest honor to walk in the straight and narrow way to give honor and glory and praise to thee. Bless those, dear Heavenly Father, maybe one time had a desire to come out to the house of God, but now turn this time to the vain personal things of this world, that you might bless them, that they might again be renewed, that they might again have a desire to come to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth, giving all honor and glory and praise to he who deserves it all, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our only hope, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very thankful tonight for the opportunity to be back here at Parkview Church and to be with many of you that I've known and loved over the years, and thankful for the opportunity to make some new friends in the Lord Jesus Christ on this trip. Enjoyed being up at Bear Creek Church, or down at Bear Creek Church last night. First time I had that opportunity to go there. It's good to be back here tonight. It's almost like coming home to be at Parkview and to be with Brother and Sister Hooven. And good to see all of you that are with us in the service. Appreciate the humble, fervent prayer that Brother Wayne has offered here tonight. And I hope you'll pray for me as I continue to speak to you this evening. I'd like to begin tonight with a passage of scripture in Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 1. The great prophet of Israel says in the 40th chapter of his book, in the first verse, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. This beautiful passage begins with a double emphasis on the word comfort. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. This life that we live in is full of disappointments, heartaches, delays, interruptions, tribulations, trials of all kinds. Brother Wayne mentioned that in his prayer tonight. That's a part of the human condition. To be human is to suffer. Life is difficult. And on every corner, people are facing new decisions and new problems in their life. Recently, a young lady in our church back home lost her grandmother unexpectedly with a massive heart attack. She was very close to her grandmother. Right after that, she and her boyfriend broke up. And she told me, she said, Brother Sam, she says, I've decided that life is just a series of hellos and goodbyes. Well, there is a lot of that in life. We say hello to people and we learn to love them, and then for one reason or another, we're separated from them by distance or by death. So life has many problems in life. You know, Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Job knew about that from his own experience. And I think that's been true with all of humanity. Now, many people try to deal with the problems of life by ignoring them or escaping from them through alcohol or drugs or work or pleasure or denial or whatever. But the Bible teaches us that when we are in trouble, we need to come to him, and he never, never turns us away. There is so much comfort in God. God never promised us in this life that things would be easy for us. You know, his son Jesus came down here, lived 33 years, and he never committed the first sin. He was perfect. When he came to the end of his life, even a natural judge had to say, I find nothing amiss in this man. Judas, who betrayed him, said, I've betrayed innocent blood. Heaven's tribunal declared, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus was perfect, and yet his entire life was couched in difficulties and sorrow. He was born in the depths of poverty in a barn in Bethlehem of Judea. His parents had to take him into Egypt to save him from the wrath of the king when he was a little baby. All of his life was difficult and hard, and Satan was after him all along the journey. Now, Lord Jesus Christ suffered immensely after he began his public ministry. And finally, the world rejected him, and he was nailed to a Roman cross in naked shame. And so, there's no reason for us to imagine that life is supposed to be perfect and easy, and we're supposed to have a utopia down here. Friends, it will not be in this world. The Bible says, Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And one of his greatest servants, the Apostle Paul, whom we all love and admire tonight, who wrote 14 books of the New Testament, was called of God to preach the gospel and be a servant of Jesus Christ. And when he was called, he was shown what great things he must suffer for Jesus' sake. And Paul lived a life of true commitment to God, such as probably no one else ever has in the New Testament church. And yet he suffered immeasurably in this life. You know, in his writing to the Corinthians, he identified his sufferings. He was beaten by the Jews on 3 occasions. He was beaten by the Romans. He was shipwrecked. He spent a lot of his life in prison. He was stoned in Lystra and left for dead. And it goes on and on and on, a long list of suffering. And so that's life, and that's reality, and we have to face that. But it's such a blessing that God has given us eyes to see that there is grace to help us in time of need. And God's grace is sufficient. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. God helps us in this life through people many times. He certainly blessed me all of my life through other people. He's channeled many blessings to me through people like you. And there's many in this audience tonight that God has used to be a blessing to me in the dark seasons of my pilgrim journey. But God is the ultimate source of every blessing. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And so if God blesses me through you, I thank him for you. But I want to give him the glory for the blessing. You know, that's true even in preaching. I've been blessed all my life through preachers who have preached the word to me. But I want to have the good sense to know that God is the one that uses the preacher. And if God doesn't bless him, he can't bless me. And you know, sometimes the devil can bless us even through, the God of heaven can bless us through the devil. I like the story of the poor widow who was out of food, and she was heard praying one day in her home by some devilish boys. And she was begging God to send her some food. And they were unbelievers, and they went and got her some food and brought it and left her on her doorstep and knocked on the door and hid in the bushes. She came to the door and saw all that food, and she knelt and began to thank God. And they came out from hiding and said, God didn't give that to you, we brought it. Oh, she said, yes, God sent it. He may use the devil to deliver it, but God sent it. So I want to tell you, beloved, all of our blessings come from God. And there's just been enough grace for every day, hasn't there? I was visiting with a young couple recently who have a little baby, and that baby has had a lot of sickness and had colic for weeks on end. And if you've never had a colicky baby, well, you have been blessed. I mean, there's no rest to be had in a home where there's a baby crying all night. And I was talking to the young couple about the sufficiency of God's grace. And the young father said, yes, sir, it's been sufficient, but I want you to know he hasn't given us an ounce more than we needed. But it's always enough, isn't it, to get us through life. And we thank God for his amazing grace and for the sufficiency of his grace along the journey. But when we are in this world and we are filled with sorrow, and when you lose a loved one by death, many of us here tonight have lost our parents to death. Many people struggle with health problems, as Brother Little does, needing a lung transplant. Many people have all kinds of physical problems. Many people struggle in their marriage, and that's a very common dilemma in our culture today. And people struggle with their children or with their parents or the people they work with. Everywhere I go and around whom, I am always meeting people who are struggling with difficulties and trials. And I struggle. I want to tell you, friends, life is hard. But I've got some good news for you tonight. The God of heaven has given us tremendous comfort. Now, the worst problem we all have is sin. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's every one of us tonight. We're all sinners. We have sin in us, and we commit sin every day, and none of us are perfect. Paul himself said about himself, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" A lot of times we're always looking for somebody else to blame for our troubles. And there are people in this world that give us a hard time and cause us a lot of heartaches. But I want to tell you, a lot of it we bring on ourselves. I like the story of the old man who was working on a plantation back in slavery days. And he was out chopping cotton and chopping wood. And the master heard him saying, Adam. His name was John Henry. But he was just saying, "Oh, Adam," wiping the sweat and chopping the wood and saying, "Oh, Adam." And his master said, "Why do you keep saying, oh, Adam?" He said, "Well, if it hadn't been for what Adam did in the Garden of Eden, I wouldn't be out here chopping this wood and chopping this cotton. I'd be up there at the mansion with you, rocking on the porch, blaming Adam for all his troubles." So the master said, "Well, I'll tell you what. You just put your hoe down and the axe down and go on to the mansion. I'm going to let you move in. You can have a nice bedroom, and you can sit on the porch and rock as much as you want, and they'll cook you anything you want. You can just live like I do." But he said, "There's one thing I don't want you to bother." He put a box out in the foyer of the mansion, and he said, "I don't want you to look under this box." Well, he went on to the house, and he had a wonderful time for a few days. He ate everything he wanted, slept as late as he wanted to sleep, and sat on that front porch and rocked. But he kept thinking about that box. And his master said, "That's one thing you can't do. Don't look under that box." But it finally got the best of him, his curiosity. So one day he went in, and when nobody was looking, he peeped under the box. And a little mouse ran out into a hole in the wall. And the master found out that he had looked under the box because the mouse was missing. So he sent him back to the fields. The next day he heard the old man saying, "Oh, John Henry." "Oh, John Henry." You know, there's a lot of truth in that, beloved. He was blaming Adam for all his trouble, and Adam sure did get us into a mess, but we've added to it ourselves. We brought a lot of our troubles on ourselves through our own choices and decisions in this life. And we must acknowledge that fact. But as life gets difficult and hard for us in this world, rather than going to every other place, you and I need to go to God, and we need to find help in time of need at the throne of grace. And God has given us so much comfort in this world. Notice, if you will, this text: comfort ye my people, saith your God. Now, the only people that can be comforted are people that are discomforted. Comfortable people can't be comforted. I mean, could you imagine trying to comfort somebody that's already perfectly comfortable? No, it's the uncomfortable that can be comforted. Now, God's children in this life have a lot of things that make them uncomfortable or discomforted, if you will. And we've already mentioned some of those tonight. And the greatest thing of all that would cause us trouble and distress is our sin before God. And unless that problem is dealt with, every last one of us would be lost for eternity. But the good news of the gospel is that God sent his own Son into this world to deal with the sin problem. I like what the angel of the Lord said to Matthew in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. He was engaged to marry Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. And he found her with child, and he was troubled about it, and was going to put her away, thinking the child was illegitimate. He knew it was not his child. But the Holy Spirit appeared to him and said, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from what? From their sins." Now that's the greatest announcement the world had ever heard, that the Savior had come into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was going to save his people from their sins. How is he going to do that? He was going to save us from our sins by taking our sins as his very own and bearing them in his body and suffering for our sins as though he had committed those sins. And he paid the debt in full. He satisfied the law of God. I've often illustrated it this way. Let's say this book represents your sins and mine. And this book represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And this pulpit represents us. Our sins were on us. We were guilty. We could not deny our guilt. But at the cross, God took our sins off of us. And you know what he did with them? He laid them over here on his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he bare in his own body our sins. That's right, beloved. On the tree of the cross, Jesus bore our sins in his own body. That means we were left without any sins to bear, and he bore them himself. And he paid the debt, and he paid it in full. So that you and I tonight are sinless legally before God. Our sins have been paid for. Our debts have been canceled out. And the victory has been won in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you didn't come here tonight feeling to be a sinner, and you didn't come here tonight feeling the need of God, I don't have a message for you. I can't comfort you. But if you came here tonight recognizing that you're a sinner, and that you need a Savior, and you came here tonight with many debts, sin debts that you could not pay, I want to tell you there's good news in the gospel. Listen to the text again. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. That is, the war is over, and the victory has been won. You know, I was not living at the end of World War II. I was born in 1948, 3 years after the war was over. So I wasn't around to enjoy the victory celebrations. But let me tell you, I've talked to a lot of people that did. Those were happy days when the war was over and America had won victory over the Germans and the Japanese. Let me tell you, great celebrations were held all over America. Ticker tape parades down the main street of New York City. It was a happy time in America. Our boys could come back home. They could lay down their weapons and return to their families and jobs. And the victory had been won. Now, many of you in the audience tonight are old enough to remember that. Oh, what a grand time that was in American history. Well, I want to tell you a greater victory than our victory over the Germans and the Japs was when Jesus Christ single-handedly on the cross met the enemy of our souls, the devil himself, and he destroyed him for time and for eternity. Do you all understand that tonight? Jesus was the captain of our salvation, and it was what you might call champion warfare. One man was chosen to represent one side and another chosen to represent the other side, like it was with David and Goliath. That great giant Goliath of the Philistines would come out and challenge Israel every day and say, "Send me a man that'll do battle with me." Finally, little David, the shepherd boy, met him in battle. If Goliath would win, the Philistines would have the victory. But if David won, the Israelites would have the victory. Y'all know the conclusion to that story. David, with one little rock and a sling, put Goliath out of commission. And somebody once said, David rocked him to sleep. He put one rock right there, brother, and ended Goliath forever. And Israel won the victory through one man. You see, all of Israel didn't go out and fight. Just one man fought, but one man won the victory for all the rest. I'm glad to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation, met the enemy at the cross, and with one fatal blow, he destroyed him for time and for eternity. So the good news tonight is this, beloved. The warfare has been accomplished. I wish I could tell that to all of God's children around the world and bless them to know that salvation is a finished work, that we already have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that song, Victory in Jesus. Not defeat, but victory in Jesus. Not only do we have victory in Jesus, but this text says that her iniquity is pardoned. Oh, wouldn't it be something if you were in prison tonight, maybe with a life sentence or an execution coming, and the governor pardoned you, and you were freed from prison. I'm telling you tonight, all of us were prisoners of sin, but we have been pardoned. And praise God, we will never be charged again because we have been cleansed and found innocent in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says your debts have been paid. You've received double for all your debts. Anybody here tonight ever been in debt? Most of us know what it is to struggle with debt. What if you owed $10 million and you didn't have a dime to pay with? And they were about to come get your house and your car and your furniture and your clothes and put you out in the street. And some benevolent fellow came along and paid the debt in full. Would that make you happy? I think it would. And then after he paid all your debts, you'd still be in the streets. But then, brother, if you turn around and gave you $10 million living expenses, that would be double, wouldn't it? I want to tell you, that's what Jesus did for us. He paid our sin debt in full, and now he's given us grace to live on in this life in an abundant way. And he's not only saved us from the devil's hell, but he saved us to an angel's heaven. And someday, by God's grace, you and I are going to fly away from this old world and go to the Father's house in glory, and we're going there by grace, and everything's already been paid for. Don't y'all think that's enough to comfort us tonight? In this world, comfort ye, my people. But you know, people who don't feel that discomfort because of sin, a message like this really doesn't mean much to them. You just can't comfort people who, for whatever reason, are not aware of the condition they're in. You know, I often think about the Titanic. That's really been brought back to everybody's mind of late because of the movie, The Titanic. But you know, that was a magnificent ship. They said it was the unsinkable ship. The floating palace of the North Atlantic. And some of the wealthiest people in the world were taking that maiden voyage across the North Atlantic. They were dancing in the ballrooms to the beautiful orchestras, and they were having the time of their life. You think they were thinking about God? You think anybody said to one of the orchestras, "Would you please play Nearer My God to Thee?" If that request had been made, they would have laughed them to scorn. Who would want to interrupt a dance in a ballroom with some old church hymn? That wouldn't really fit in very well, would it? As they're dressed up in their evening gowns and their tuxedos, and they're enjoying the luxuries and the wealth and the position of the hour, they wouldn't want to be singing Amazing Grace. But let me tell you, when that ship hit the iceberg and it was announced that she's going down, and there weren't nearly enough lifeboats on that ship, and they let the women and children go first, and they went out a safe distance, and the orchestra came out knowing they were soon going down, you know what they started playing on the deck of that sinking ship? Nearer, My God, to Thee. I've often wondered what it must have sounded like in the stillness of that cold night to hear that beautiful old hymn rising up to heaven. Don't you know it was a comfort, my friends, to those women and children to know that even though they were separated from their husbands and fathers and these men, God would know where they were, and God could bring them up in the resurrection morning. Let me tell you, my friends, if you haven't hit your iceberg yet, you will in time. All of us hit icebergs in this world. And it takes that to bring us into reality. I tell you, as long as life is...